and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire. Jesus Christ is born.
leading still, proceeding, guide us to thy perfect life. Born a king of Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign.
Tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew chapter 2 verse 1, and Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 tells us the story of the visit of the wise men to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you can, look over there, and if not, just listen. But thank you everybody for participating in the singing, the candlelight service. I believe it's a blessing. It honors the Lord Jesus Christ as we reflect and remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and again this is Micah 5:2, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then, Lord, being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we are privileged by your presence this evening. We do ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you as we look to your word. Bless, Lord, the remainder of the service as we continue on. May you be honored and glorified and our lives edified. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, What the Birth of Jesus Brought. And we'll see this here in just a moment. What the birth of Jesus brought. And so the first thing we'll take notice of is that it brought the wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Secondly, it brought trouble to King Herod in all Jerusalem. And the last thing that it brought is it brought exceeding great joy by God's revelation and the fulfillment of prophecy. And so we thank the Lord for that as well. Let's consider it brought the wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Look at what it says here in verse 1. It says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now Herod was not a godly man. He was not one that feared God. He was concerned about his power and his control. And basically, he was privy to the Roman government. That's what he was given to. That's who placed him in position. And of course, last Sunday we talked about how he made sure that the scepter, the power of Judah, was completely gone, given over to the Romans. And we find that the fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy that when the scepter was removed from Judah, Shiloh, the Messiah, would come. And just like the promise was, the Lord Jesus Christ did come. When that scepter was removed. And notice what they came doing. Verse 2 says, saying, Where is he that's born King of the Jews? Now they had a genuine desire to see the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to see him because they believed in the promises of God. They were moved by the promises of God, and they wanted to see this for themselves. So notice it says, For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. What I want you to take notice here is it brought them because they had confidence in God's guidance in their life. They weren't saying, we're coming to see if this is true. No, we have come to see this one that God has promised. And so they're excited, but we don't see that here concerning King Herod and all Jerusalem that we'll take notice of here in just a moment. So it brought trouble to King Herod. It brought the wise men from the east, and they were excited about what God was doing really for the whole world and the promise that was to be fulfilled. But let's take notice here the trouble that it brought to King Herod. Look at verse 3, if you will. When Herod the king had heard these things, so obviously they found out that these wise men were in the area. And so when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, listen to this, and all Jerusalem with him. So it means basically Jerusalem as a nation. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on planet Earth, he had, of course, the 12 disciples and many other disciples that believed and followed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. Israel as a nation rejected him. Amen. But by the way, listen, it's the same way today. There are Jews that are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's coming a day when the Lord comes that they're going to recognize him as the Messiah, and he's going to deal with the nation of Israel. So he's not finished with them. But here's what we find. All Jerusalem was troubled with him, and we'll take a little bit specific notice of who they are. Look at what verse 4 says. It says, And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, listen, there was documented records for anybody that really wanted to know where Jesus came from. They would have been able to find out where this took place. It wasn't until after 70 A.D., when the temple was destroyed, that the records were destroyed. So they knew exactly. They could find out this information, but they were not concerned about what God was doing. They were more concerned about themselves. And so they were misled by that. Their hearts were hardened, and they were misdirected by that. And so, by the way, we'll be reminded here that the scribes and the chief priests, they were the ones that were responsible for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. So some 30 years after this, their hearts did not get any softer. In fact, they got harder, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that followed him, they were not very favorable. In fact, if you'll remember, they wanted to cast anybody that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ out of the temple. They wanted to excommunicate them and get rid of them because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? They had the Word of God. They studied the Word of God, and they missed Jesus. You know what that tells us? Listen, it doesn't matter what we know unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will go astray. And so here you have the chief priests and the scribes and Herod is talking to them. And that should have given them the first indicator. They're not on the right side. Amen. When they're counseling Herod. And verse 5 says, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They knew what the word of God was saying, and it was true. They quoted it. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And if you will, Micah says that he is the everlasting one, right? From everlasting to everlasting, he is the God. And so even that should have indicated to them that he was not just anybody, any prophet. He was God incarnate that was promised. He was the perfect sacrifice. Amen. Without blemish, without spot, the only one that could have redeemed us. But they misunderstood that and rejected that. And so it says here in verse 7, in fact, it says that then Herod, after he heard this, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So even Herod is not rejecting the idea that they saw the star. He's wanting to find out, not that he might go and worship him, but he was wanting to find out who this one could be that would overthrow his power, his government. That's what he was really concerned about. And so he wanted to find out what this was all about. So listen, these were exciting times. They were times that obviously caused some people trouble. But listen, all those who believe in the truth, there's one thing that we can rest assured on. God will bring everything to pass just as he promised. And by the way, the Bible says any of the trials, any of the troubles that we might go through on this side of eternity, and we can go through a lot of them. We can go through natural troubles. We can go through religious persecution. We're not experiencing that. We live in a free country, and praise the Lord. But that's not the way it is around the world. Try being a Christian in China today, and you'll find trouble. Amen? You'll find persecution. But praise the Lord that God has given to you and I in this nation the freedom to believe and worship the one true God. That's not been removed from us. But listen, there are people that are suffering. But one thing that we can trust, and God says that it doesn't matter what we go through on this side of eternity, it won't be able to be compared to the things that you and I will experience in heaven. Amen? God will more than recompense anything that we have ever suffered, even if we suffer unto death. Even if we suffer unto death, God says, and I don't understand it, but I believe it. How about you? Amen? Here it is. Ready? God said it. Whether I believe it or not doesn't matter. That settles it. Amen. And we can mark it down that is the truth in spite of what the world might say or in spite of what those that don't believe might say. May our faith, may our confidence, may our hope be in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the word that he has given to us. And so as we consider this, we find that they were concerned about this. And again, in verse 7, Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently for the wrong reason, what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him also. Was that the truth? Was he really being genuine? No, he was not. He was being deceptive and dishonest. But wait a minute, listen. The wise men had not a care in the world. You know why? They were following the Lord. Amen? They were following God's leadership. They were excited about that. And God was good enough, and we'll see that here in just a moment, to give them the warning that was needed against Herod. So what goes on here? Let's look at the last thought here as we consider. And so the first thought was it brought the wise men from the east. This is what the birth of Jesus brought. It brought trouble to King Herod and to all Jerusalem. But the last thing that we see here is that it brought exceeding great joy by God's revelation and the fulfillment of prophecy. So notice what it says here in verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Isn't that amazing? I don't understand that. We would have had to have been there to understand what they were seeing, but they were being led of the Lord. In a miraculous way, God wanted them to see this event. Amen? And when God wants us to see something, those who seek him will find him. Amen? And we can still find the Lord. And by the way, wise men, as the saying goes, are still seeking him. If you're seeking him, genuinely seeking the Lord, hey, you're a wise individual, because you won't be let down, and you will have the greatest fulfillment on this side of eternity that can ever be had. And that is, of course, a relationship with the Lord. So verse 10 says this, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They haven't even seen the Lord, but they had seen the star, and you know what they were given? God is still leading us, amen? God is still in control. God is still on the throne, and he still holds us in his hands. By the way, God still holds us in his hands, and we ought to rejoice in that, beginning with salvation. Listen, we ought to be able to look back and say, God held us the whole time. What a great, merciful God to bring me through everything he's brought me to, that I might come to the saving knowledge and put my faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives me eternal life. That's the only way of salvation. There's no other way. People are thinking I can do good works. They're thinking that, but listen, to add anything to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his death, the shedding of his blood, his resurrection was not enough to give me eternal life. And that's a lie. That is a lie that only is manufactured in the heart and mind of mankind and the devil himself. It's a misunderstanding of the Word of God. Our complete faith ought to be in one place, and that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. That is eternal life. And if you're thinking about other things, you don't have a sure salvation. And by the way, there are people that I believe in Jesus, but the Bible says the devils believe in Jesus and they tremble. And you know what that means? Because why do they tremble? Because they are waiting for a certain fulfilled judgment in their lives. By the way, when people say, I hope I'm going to heaven, and they don't know, that's a problem also. Listen, that God has not given them a revelation that is needed. And why, Brother George, are you trying to scare me tonight? If you are lost, absolutely, because you're facing a very frightening future without the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I can't tell you. Listen, it's a little bit different for everybody, but God brings an assurance in our hearts and in our minds concerning eternal life when we are recipients of it. When you are born again, you know you have life from God. Amen? And there's no denying it. And if you don't have that assurance, I share that with you tonight, that you might seek the Lord until he gives that to you. That is worth having. Amen? And you don't want to leave this life. Listen, time is flying by, is it not? I mean, it seems like it's picking up speed and going faster and faster and faster. And may our confidence be in God and in him alone. No church can take you to heaven. Did you know that? Only our Redeemer, only our Savior. No good works can take you to heaven. Nothing can take. There's only one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who has given to us eternal life. And if he's given to us eternal life, he says, be a faithful follower, a faithful child of God, and let me work my life in you, amen, that I might glorify myself in and through you. That you might, listen, we cannot be the light of the world, we cannot be the salt of the earth without the grace of God in us, beginning with salvation. And so may God have his free course in our hearts and minds, just as he did in these wise men. So they're excited about this. And notice what happens here. Again, verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Amen. There's only one person that's worthy of our worship. We should, listen, never kneel down to anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And they knew that. They worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So look how this happens. They come, Herod intervenes and intercepts them, if you will, and says, I want to worship him also. So at that particular time, they simply believed him. And they said, great, we're excited about it too. Come worship with us. But he was a scoundrel. He was not being legitimate. Amen. And so they're going about their business. They're rejoicing because they see the star. And then all of a sudden they're there where the young child was at. And they were worshiping. And then God came to them and said, hey, listen, you need to go out another way. You need to avoid Herod. You think that was a cause for more rejoicing? Look how great our God is. He revealed to us what we didn't know. How important it is for us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, lest we be misled and step out of the way. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in this day more than any other, with all the news and all the information that we are being bombarded with and being inundated with. Listen, it is easier today to be misled out of the way than it ever has been before. Listen, today, how do you see people? And please, I'm not against technology, but if that's all that we're living for and we have no room for God, something's off. Something is off. If we're giving ourselves over to media, and I say this because this is how everybody walks. You know what? You want to know what's even scarier than that? This is how most people drive. I mean, listen, I'm watching and they're going all over the world, and I come up alongside of them and they got their phone in their hand. And they're I don't know what they're driving with. Maybe they're knee or something, but they got one hand on the phone and they're using the other one to text and drive. And they do or listen. They may be watching something. I don't know, but listen. One thing is for certain: they are distracted to the point of putting themselves and other people in danger. How many accidents happen because people are texting and driving? And I am simply saying that not to ridicule those who are texting and driving, as dangerous as it is. But what I'm saying is our society today is more distracted than ever before, that they are willing to put their lives in danger to be misled. There is nothing more important than a relationship with the Lord. As wise as these men, as wealthy as these wise men were, their greatest pursuit was the Son of God. Amen? That's what moved them. And so what happens here in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And again, we find here what the Lord does. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth unto Joseph in a dream. Not only to the wise men, but now the Joseph is also getting direction from the Lord. And saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. Did you hear that? Until God brings him word again, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. God gave him direction. Amen. God is in the direction-giving business, if we'll have it. But he will not force it on us. If we are humbly seeking the Lord, God will guide our every step. If we genuinely want the Lord in our lives, he will come. And he will guide us. But if we're busy here and there, listen, we're going to miss the Lord. I am convinced. Does not the Bible say that Satan is the prince and power of the air? He is the prince and power of the air. And by the way, he's the prince and power of the airwaves. You ever stop to think about why they call it the World Wide Web? And when you think of a web, it's a trap. Amen? That a spider spins to catch its prey. Isn't that amazing? I'm not against technology. Please, I'm not saying that. But here, listen. One of the biggest computers in the world. Have you ever stopped to think about this? What's their insignia? It is an apple with a bite taken out of it. What in the world is that? What in the world is that? If you have ever stopped to think about it. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't purchase one product or another. I'm just telling you that Satan is over this whole world. And he is more deceptive than we realize. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in it. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to ensnare the child of God to put out their light. He can't take their soul. They have eternal life. But he certainly doesn't want them to bring anybody else out of his kingdom into the kingdom of light. From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But God is in the soul-saving business. Amen? So much so that he took care to make sure that Joseph knew that he was to flee the presence of Herod. So he says this, and by the way, this is to fulfill prophecy. So what happens is, verse 14 says, when he arose, speaking of Joseph, he took the young child, speaking of Jesus and his mother, by night, and departed into Egypt. Why? And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. More prophecy being fulfilled. Amen? That made sense to absolutely no one until God revealed it to us here in his word. And since this has been penned down, we could say, oh, that's what that he meant by what the prophet was saying. Now I understand it. And we can look at it. And here's what we can say. Ready? Just like God said it would happen. Amen. He fulfilled it just as he said. We got a couple more verses to consider here, a few more verses, and we'll be finished. And we'll see these prophecies being fulfilled. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, he was found out. Amen. He thought he was mocked. He wasn't. Why? Because he's the king and everybody answers to me. Oh, no. Listen, everybody answers to God. You mean even King Herod? Absolutely. Even King Herod answers to God. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth, because he was such a good man, right? And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled, another fulfillment here, that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. They were killed. Now, I will be the first one to tell you, I don't understand that. But I do understand this. We have a loving God. Amen. And the wickedness was not because of our God. The wickedness was because of an ungodly king. Amen. That decided to bring... When murder takes place, that is the work of man. Amen? Not of God. God is gracious to everyone to give us free choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You will either serve yourself, God, this world, or the devil himself. And I want you to know something. Listen, that Hollywood has nothing to be praised for. Hollywood has nothing to be praised for. Don't look to them and want anything they have, because most of them are a bunch of wicked, ungodly people that have given themselves over to the flesh and the works of the flesh. And I'm not against entertainment, but I will tell you, there's a lot of ungodly garbage out there that's not worth having. And that will only darken our hearts and mislead us. And if you're not careful, the devil will get you to laugh at things that are ungodly. That's his work. Because he wants to pull us away from what is godly, that we might not have the light of God in our hearts and in our lives. And so, what's taking place? These are more prophecies. Listen, prophecies are not always a good thing, in the sense of they will glorify the Lord, but they're not always pleasant. In this particular case, the prophet predicted that this would be taking place to God's people, the Jewish people. So more things take place here. Verse 19, and when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, more leadership, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. This is confirmation in Joseph's life. He's saying, God told me he would tell me when it was time to come back. And guess what he's doing? He's telling him when it is time to go back. And so, verse 22, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled again, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene, because he's going to be in Nazareth. He's going to be called a Nazarene. So again, listen, the believer, when they were seeing this and understanding this, and we can look back and say, this is why he was not in Bethlehem. Because Herod was after him, and God saw all of this, and the prophets prophesied about this. And do you know that every one of those Pharisees and every one of those scribes could have studied the scriptures and found out the truth? But, and by the way, they knew the word of God, but they couldn't see the truth. Because their hearts, their foolish hearts, were darkened. Do you know that we can know the Word of God and misunderstand the Word of God and not walk in the ways of the Lord? Because we, listen, what is required? That we walk humbly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Those Pharisees and those scribes had no humility and no mercy. Listen, humility says, Lord, I need you to guide me, or I will not walk upright before you. God, I need you. How often? All, every day. Every day. Lord, may I start out my day for your honor and glory in prayer, calling upon you to guide me in your ways, not my ways. Amen. Do you know that we can walk our ways according to the way that we think and be dead wrong with God? That's a dangerous place. Yes. And here's the crazy thing. God will let us do it. God will let us walk incorrectly without the love of God, without mercy. And by the way, listen, he can cause us to walk against his will and his way. And we might think that we're doing the right thing and miss the Lord altogether. That's the scribes and the Pharisees and a lot of the religious rulers in the Lord's day. By the way, even before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and during the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were filled with themselves and missed the Lord. And they knew the Word of God. That's the crazy thing. And here's the sad thing. They are more culpable and liable before God for knowing the truth and not walking in it. And by the way, we are too. If we say we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility. If we say we know him and that we love him, then we keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
How many of them? All of them. And you know what it says? Listen, they are not grievous to us. They're not, not this nonsense, oh, I just can't do it, so forget about it. What? We are debtors to God. We are debtors to walk upright by the grace of the Lord. And here's the thing. The wonderful truth is, it's not shame on us. Jesus is saying, don't miss out. Don't miss out. Listen, do you think Joseph would have wanted to miss any of the directions that God was giving into his life? How about Peter? Do you think he wanted to miss any of the directions? Do you think he was excited when the Lord remembered Peter and put him back on track and used him on the day of Pentecost to preach a message? Like, you think he ever forgot that message where 3,000 souls were saved and they were added to the church and great things were being done? He was excited about that. Notice, it says, again, in verse 23, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And why did this take place? Because God saw an eternity pass as he looks at our lives. We have a decision to make today and every day. And that is, this is our decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. How do you want to serve the Lord? According to your understanding or God's? Ask. You got to answer that question. We have to answer that question every day. How do I want to walk today? Because the world will tell you, well, after all, you can serve God and all that, but listen, leave your children in Egypt. You can serve the Lord and worship him, but you don't have to follow him in all his ways. After all, you got to live life. Tell me where God has ever directed any one of his children to do that.
No.
Listen, We are to serve the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul in every area. And not according to the way that we think, because that'll mislead us. Again, I point to the scribes and the Pharisees. They were misled. And they jumped on Herod's bandwagon. And what happened to them? They hardened their hearts. And they missed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promises were given to them. And listen, the promises are given to every child of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And we must pursue the Lord with humility and say, God, I want to believe what you said, and that is that you would fulfill your will in our lives if we'll seek you. We'll find you. Just like these wise men. And again tonight, the birth of Jesus brings many things.
Amen.
Which ones are we seeking after? It brought the wise men from Egypt, from the east to Jerusalem to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We would see Jesus, amen? But it brought trouble to King Herod and all Jerusalem because they rejected the Lord. But more importantly, it brought exceeding great joy by God's revelation and fulfillment of prophecy in the life of the wise men, Mary and Joseph, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? They were honored because they were walking in His ways. And God said in eternity past, I'm picking Mary and Joseph. Just like He picked Jeremiah, just like He picked Daniel, and just like He wants to pick us today. He already knows what we're going to do, but we still have the opportunity to choose tonight and every day whom we're going to seek. So tonight, the question is, who do we seek? Who should we seek? And the answer is, the only right answer, the only good answer, is the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The God of heaven above, who has given to us eternal life and wants to bring to us great joy, amen, that no man can take from us. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. We do thank you for this account that you've given to us of what you did through the life of Mary, Joseph, and bringing the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and through the wise men and revealing to us, Lord, the deception and the misleading of Herod and the scribes and the Pharisees and how easy it is, Lord, to be misled. May you keep us. May we call upon you, Lord, to guide our hearts and minds to walk upright in all of your ways, and that we would not excuse ourselves from what you've commanded us. Lord, we want to call you Lord, and we want to obey you in everything, that we might be found faithful and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we see you face to face. Bless the invitation, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.